easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sir's up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on X, Twitter, at PCreighton1, Josh Evan, at the Master Controls, at IMJ Chevy on the X, Twitter, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975, and take us with you everywhere you go. You know you want it. Now, if you guys have sent a text message to the show, Josh, do you have access to the text line? All right, I don't have access to the text line again. Here's what happens. Like, every 2 weeks, I go to log into the text thing, and it will tell me, oh, we need to re-authenticate your permission to use the text line. And there's only one person in the company who can authenticate it. And that person generally is not here. So I have to hope and pray and wish that they have gotten their check their text messages. And as I said that, would you believe as I said that, that person literally just authenticated me. So I would like to thank said person, because now I can see all the text messages, and apparently we have a lot of them.
Look at God.
Apparently we have a lot of them. So I'll get through some of this. Somebody said facts on Verlander. Yes, they were. They thought the Astros win 100 games, which I think that'd be a little aggressive. Tony had texted in. They'll be allowed in 113. And so they're saying you'd block the top hole in the cassette so you could record over it. So if you had a store-bought cassette, it had the same thing with a VHS tape. They pop the hole on the top of the tape, would prevent you from recording over it. But if you put little tape over it, worked like a champ. Those are some fun things. Somebody said they had to get the ghetto blaster with the equalizer. Oh, A in the Fae. A, the only brother in the Fae, had the ghetto blaster with an equalizer on it. That, see, you had the specials. When you actually had the equalizer right there on the box, that was like the Jordans of boom boxes. Because, man, nobody had those. Somebody said they remember Houston Cellular and Prime Co. phone. I don't know what Prime Co. is. But, yeah, back in the day, there were all kinds of, like, little... You used to be able to get phone service from Radio Shack. Radio Shack had... It was, like, $8 a minute, and you got 30 minutes a month. But when you got your car phone installed from Radio Shack, or if you remember the 80s bag phones, they looked like military things. You had like a box with a phone and then a bag that had the battery in it. And the battery was like as big as a lunchbox. And you might have gotten 30 or 35 minutes out of that battery before you had to recharge it. Then you got the Radio Shack cellular phone, which was the big, giant white phone with the black antenna on it and the big, square, black battery. That was like the first cordless phone. Yeah, I saw them, but I didn't have one. A company that I did work for at one point had them, and I got to use it once or twice, but not for anything I wanted to do. It was actually work, but... Oh yeah, that's how That's how ugly it was back then. Now, with the Houston Texans, we need to address something. Because as much as I think overall Nick Casario's done a pretty decent job getting the Texans out of what was the absolute worst situation in the history of the NFL between lack of draft picks, lack of talent, and a blown-up salary cap, he did something, or admitted to doing something just yesterday that is absolutely mind-boggling. The Texans put Kenyon Green on IR and he's out for the year. And Nick Casario admitted that he and the Texans have known Kenyon Green has had a serious shoulder injury since May. And that it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when he was going to need surgery on that shoulder. And he did not, A, have Kenyon Green have surgery, or B, sign some backup depth that would be appropriate should Kenyon Green be out for the year, that you had a quality option at left guard to take his place. And I don't see how there is any possible way to describe this other than franchise malpractice. You have a rookie quarterback, and you didn't think having a left guard was important? Right? Isn't that the whole reason you went and gave Laremy Tunsil that giant contract? The reason why you re-upped Titus Howard? The reason why you acquired and then extended Shaq Mason? The reason why you spent an early draft pick on Juice Scruggs at center? Isn't it because, oh, we need to have a strong offensive line to protect and develop our rookie quarterback that we took with the number two overall pick. We don't want him to get absolutely massacred by free oncoming rushers. We want him to actually be able to stand up. We want him to be able to look down the field and make plays. We don't want him getting killed. And you decided, my left guard is going to need surgery. We'll see what happens. My left guard is going to need surgery. Should I sign a backup? We'll see what happens. What the hell?
Is that a fireable offense too?
It's not fireable, but I think
it's pretty close.
If he were on the hot seat, that would be fireable. See, Nick's not on the hot seat. If he was on the hot seat, the boot print would be on his fanny as he flew out the door. But it is something that makes you question. He's done a lot of good things. Man, that one is like almost unforgivable. Like, there is no possible, reasonable excuse that you can make to say, well, I knew in May. What did you do in May? Nothing. June? Nothing. July? Nothing. August, well, at the very last day of the month, we tried to do, you know, pick up a couple of guys off the scrap heap. Maybe, you know, guys that we had on the practice squad last year, guys who got cut, guys who, you know, maybe were undrafted, rookie free agent. That's your answer at left guard. Now, realistically, the Texans signed George Fant. Pretty good tackle. He's had injury issues. But right now he's healthy. He's a pretty good tackle. Problem is this. Right now, their best offensive line combination might require Titus Howard to play left guard. And that's not his best position. Because George Fant can play right tackle, but he can't play left guard. And the other options that you have at left guard, Michael Dieters played 966 games I got 966 snaps. Sorry, 966 snaps at left guard. Then you have Howard, Tunsil, Mason, Jimmy Morrissey, who was on the team the last 2 years, spent time on the practice squad, got called up a few games. He has also been signed to the practice squad again this year. Jimmy Morrissey's been like a backup center, guard. He's played 56 snaps at left guard. 56 snaps. Dieter Eiselin, who they also put on the practice squad, has played 20 snaps. Nobody else has any snaps at left guard. So your options are Titus Howard at right tackle, Michael Dieter at left guard. Titus Howard at left guard, George Fant at right tackle. Those are probably your two best options going forward. And neither are ideal. But how are we talking about didn't make any kind of backup plan? And if Green has surgery back in May, is he able to play in October, November? As opposed to here we are August 31st, and if he has surgery, he's out for the year because it's probably 4 to 6 months. But if he'd have had it in May, could that have been October, November that he could have come back? I don't know because, well, the Texans didn't actually share any of that information. But here's Nick Cassero saying, yeah, I knew, but I ain't do bleep. And that is just, that's one of those things that cannot be explained, that there is no answer for, and there really should be some kind of accountability for. All right, before we get to money plays on the other side, let me tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring, because I met Dr. Ben 4 years ago, basically went to go see him on a whim. I dealt with sinus issues for over 20 years. They were horrible. I've been to over a half dozen doctors in 2 different states. Nobody could do anything about it. And literally went to go see Dr. Ben because a couple of my friends said, hey, you got to go see this guy. This guy's amazing. And I was just like, yeah, nobody can fix what's wrong with me. Like, this is just how it's going to be. Well, why don't you just go have a conversation and find out? Yeah, look, it's not going to matter. Well, why don't you just try? Okay, fine. Finally broke down, went to go see Dr. Ben, talked to him for about 30, 35 minutes. And he's like, you know what? Let's find out why you keep having this issue. I want to get a CT scan on you. I didn't have to go see another doctor or go to another location or, you know, schedule an appointment for another day. We went three doors down the hall and made a left. It took 5 minutes. And 10 minutes later, the results are on the board. It turned out I had staph infection in my sinuses that was highly resistant to antibiotics. So all those Z-Packs the doctors kept giving me, they didn't actually cure my issue. They would just have the infection wind down and then wind right back up. Dr. Ben's the only one that found the actual problem and addressed it. So I had a procedure done with Dr. Ben, right? They surgically removed the staph infection out of my sinuses. They did a balloon sinuplasty to get all the dead, damaged tissues that were basically leaving my sinus cavity completely closed. My airways were almost fully blocked. Now they're wide open. I had a deviated septum. I didn't even know I had a deviated septum. They fixed that too. And here we are 4 years later, haven't had a single sinus infection, haven't even had a sinus headache. Little bonus, I don't snore anymore either. Turns out my really bad snoring was caused by my airways being all blocked up, by my sinuses being all blocked up. Now they're not blocked up, I breathe easy. I sleep through the night. I wake up, I feel good. If you're a bad snorer, you wake up probably 3-4 times in the middle of the night, and when you finally get up, you feel more tired than when you went to bed. I know that was me for 20 years. But you don't have to live like that. All you got to do is call Dr. Ben Salento, 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let Dr. Ben do for you what he did for me, what he's done for dozens of late hitters, what he's done for thousands of Houstonians around the city. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
It is by the juice of Safu that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains, stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money!
Presented by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, joining us right now on the HRMP guest line from Money Plays, one of the founders at BetPredators.com, BettingPredators.com. He's also sports editor and fantasy football editor with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's our buddy Chris Dell. What's up, Chris?
Patrick, my man, how's it going?
Dude, I appreciate all that fantasy football advice that you gave us last week. I believe I even put a lot of it into practice. Appreciate all of that. You might even have had firsthand knowledge that I put it into practice. Get into that another time. let's get into, look, the NFL season, man, we're a week away. We were a week away from actual games that matter. And seems like a good time to hit some prop bets, take a look at, some player props that we like, that we don't like. And I know that, man, you are a king when it comes to these prop bets. So let's talk some NFL prop bets, brother. You ready?
I'm ready to go, man. I just want to preface this by saying that, you know, betting player props at this point in the game, it's a totally different strategy than when we're going week to week, right? Because season-long props, these numbers are adjusted and created by the books to essentially account for a player playing between 16 to 17 games of a full season. And we know, Patrick, over the years we've been covering the sport, that that's simply not reality for the majority of players by the end of the year. Not only can a player get hurt, but an offensive lineman can get hurt. That hurts a player if you bet it over. A teammate can wind up emerging, a rookie receiver that takes away targets from him. A team could wind up tanking late in the year and completely pull their starters from the equation. Or a team could be so good they wind up resting starters for at least one or multiple games at the end of the year. So to me, honestly, you can never give me a logical, sound reason for ever betting an over on a season-long player prop. Yeah, I might bet one in a rookie when the lines first came out after the draft if the receiver total's too low. But I would tell you this, out of the 100 or so bets that I've made on season-long player props, I'm at about 3 or 4 overs and about 96-97% unders, and that's how you want to be if you want to be profitable when it comes to betting the season-long player prop market. Look, people say, oh, it's so fun to bet unders. Well, to me, you know what's fun, Patrick? As you know, it's cashing tickets, and that's all I care about at the end of the day.
What's fun is counting ducats. That's fun. So let's talk about some of these player props, examples of what you mean by, you know, basically, this is like the big short. You're shorting damn near everything. So what are some quarterback prop bets that you think are great shorts?
Yeah, so, you know, after the NFL draft, I gave out 2 props in our Betting Predators Discord channel, which you can access for free. The link's on our site. But those props have been steamed down to like by 500-600 yards. I love the under on C.J. Stroud. I love the under on Bryce Young. They were close to, they were between 3,500 to 4,000 yards at the time. And frankly, those are completely inflated numbers based by public infatuation and overall hype in the media. And while I think these guys can be good NFL quarterbacks in the future, I'm not betting my money based off of that. I'm betting based off do these numbers actually add up. And now you're looking at a market where Bryce Young's been bet all the way down to 3,200. C.J. Stroud's been all the way been bet all the way down to almost under 3,000. So I'm not going to touch those anymore because I didn't get the best of the number. But I do want to go to a couple guys that have the hype, and I don't think it's warranted. And we talked about this guy being a fade on our fantasy show when we were talking about quarterbacks, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And look, again, like Aaron Rodgers, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I get it. He played a full 17 games last season, Patrick. He had 3,695 yards for a Packers team that was often trailing a lot in games. And now he goes to a Jets team that, you know, their win total is solid. They're projected to be a borderline playoff team. You know, the books have increased Aaron Rodgers' passing yards total 300-plus yards. It's at 39.50 and a half. That's almost 4,000 yards. That's asking a lot for a guy who's well into his 40s at this point in his career. And if we know anything about Aaron Rodgers, it's that he loves to milk the clock. He loves to read the defenses. He loves to call out his audibles, move things around the formation. Every single time Aaron Rodgers takes a snap under center, he's wasting about 30 seconds doing his a veteran, high IQ football thing. But you know what that means? That means less pass attempts, which means less passing yards. And that's why I love the under on Aaron Rodgers at under 39.50.5. I expect this Jets team to run the ball very well. I expect their defense to be really good, and I expect them to be leading in a majority of their games this season, especially in the middle second half of the year when their schedule gets a lot easier. So Aaron Rodgers, to me, this is an easy number to bet. And who's to say he doesn't get hurt and miss one or two games at the age he is? Then all of a sudden, you're seeing the ball well under 3,900. Even if he does exactly what he did last year, they're still winning this under prop by 300-plus yards. So that's my favorite quarterback under to bet is Aaron Rodgers on the passing yards.
Short. Q-Rod, 39.50. What's a running back bet that you like?
Yeah, I hope nobody in Pittsburgh is listening to me right now, Patrick. But, first of all, this is probably the market I bet the most when it comes to unders on running backs. I'm going to give a couple, and I'm going to lead with – this is very correlated to the guys that I'm not drafting in fantasy football. But one guy in particular – is Najee Harris for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, like, when you look at the preseason usage, and look, preseason usage can give you signals as to what's going to happen in the regular season, especially when we're only talking about here preseason usage with the first-string offense. And what we saw is that Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are almost in a 50-50 committee. Yes, they're going to continue to call, quote-unquote, Najee Harris the starter, but he's playing barely above 50% of the snaps. Then when you look at the two-minute drill, the four-minute drill, the no-huddle offense, third downs, those are all going to Jaylen Warren. And I don't think that with Kenny Pickett taking a step forward, with George Pickens being the next great wide receiver hype in this league, and for good reason, they have a talented tight end, Pat Freiermuth. They have another talented receiver, Deontay Johnson. Najee Harris is simply not going to be able to get enough piece of the pie to even in a good year where he's going to eclipse this number overall. So I really like Najee Harris under 925.5 yards. You look at last season, he played a full 17 games. Like, he has not missed a game in his career. He's going to eventually miss at least one game at some point, even if it's just for rest purposes. And I think that the emergence of Warren, the emergence of this offense in the passing game overall is going to lead to severely reduced usage to where Harris is going to go from getting about 70% of the running back carries to about 55%, and that's enough to knock a couple hundred yards off your season-long win total at the end of the day. And I'm going to say the same thing about Travis Etienne, the exact same line on DraftKings Sportsbook right now. And again, make sure to shop around because you might find this at a better number to bet. But under 925.5 rushing yards, look, we know that Urban Meyer, he drafted Travis Etienne. This coaching staff led by Doug Peterson that's leading the next generation of this Jaguars team into the playoffs with Super Bowl aspirations, you know what they did? They went out and drafted, and they handpicked Payne Bigsby out of Auburn, one of the best receiving backs in college football, one of the best goal line backs in college football. I expect eventually, within a couple weeks' time, to see Payne Bigsby almost rivaling Travis Etienne in this offense in a 50-50 split. And again, you look at Travis Etienne last year, I talked about Najee's ability to stay healthy. Etienne could not stay healthy last year. His slender frame, his aggressive type of rushing style, we saw him get banged up multiple times throughout the season, and I know because I had him on quite a few fantasy teams. And look, yeah, he doesn't catch passes, but even when it comes to rushing, last year, Travis Etienne, he left quite a few games early, and I expect him to struggle again to get up to that number. So I expect Payne Bigsby to eat up a lot of that offensive production overall. So I like Etienne under 925.5. I like Najee under 925.5 as well when it comes to two running back props on that number this year.
Short Q-Rod, short Najee Harris, short Travis Etienne. He's Chris Dell, bettingpredators.com, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette with us on the HRMP guest line, Money Plays. Chris, what do you got at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, so, wide receiver, let me just say this. There's a lot of options when it comes to receiving yard props. And you can look at running backs in this market as well for running backs who do catch passes. So what I will say is when it comes to the wide receiver market, I want to look for wide receivers that have the flash, they have the hype, they have the public supporting their name, but they're in offenses that play slow. They're in offenses that like to run the ball. They're in team environments that like to win with defense more than anything else. And when you look at all those things factored in with each other, it's going to give you quite a bit of option at the end of the day. I'm going to go to one for me. It's a layup play at the end of the day, and that's betting Marquise Brown under 800.5 receiving yards in Arizona. Look, like, we thought now news is confirmed that Kyler Murray's not going to play for at least the first month of the season. He might wind up missing the entire year. This might be the one true, and I'm sure you've talked about this a lot on your show too, Patrick, is like, how many true tanking teams before even week one starts are going to be putting in tank jobs this year? I think Arizona is probably the only one you can say for certain is on that path. Maybe Tampa Bay, if they come out and lose a couple games, they hand the keys over to Kyle Trask, et cetera, et cetera. But Marquise Brown is like the only marquee name in this offense. James Conner's an aging running back. Kyler Murray's not going to play. Arizona would be ridiculous put themselves in a position where they're not going to go out and get Caleb Williams. So I think Marquise Brown, as talented as he is, as much as like there isn't much competition around him, you know, how much are these starters actually going to play this year if Arizona's putting in a tank job? So to me, I can see the plug being pulled on Marquise Brown. 800.5 yards receiving yards in a full 17-game season, yes, I expect Marquise Brown to eclipse that. But look at the quarterback play, and in Josh Dobbs. Quarterbacks that can play after him as well. It's just so many routes and paths to an under Hayes. Well, even though the number isn't necessarily that great, the circumstance and the situation, there's way too many things pointing to the under for a player like Marquise Brown.
I tell you, Chris, I think Marquise Brown's going to get traded this year. And because their offense is going to be so dysfunctional, his numbers aren't going to be that good. And it's going to be a fight because they're going to want more for him than teams are willing to give up. Teams already, you know, devalue everybody in, you know, in-season trade by at least a round. So when you have a guy who's not going to have the numbers because, well, their offense is going to be a total mess, they might wind up selling him for a fourth or a fifth, but I think that he's going to wind up getting traded. I'm with you. When guys get traded, they usually don't. Usually when guys get traded, they don't then suddenly go on to set the league on fire because they've got to learn the offense and kind of work their way in. So I'm with you on that. I don't like him. I think he's a good player, but I don't like him to have a big season. Who's your tight end that you think is going to not make the number?
Yeah, well, this is honestly, we say the best for last. I have the most exposure on this play at any season-long cross. And frankly, I just don't even understand why it's still being offered. And it's looking to Buffalo, right? And another player I've been a fan of over the years, I like all these guys I'm talking about. Just because I'm Ben Numbers doesn't mean I don't like him. I like making money, as you know. So Dawson Knox, to me, under 425.5 receiving yards, right? It's a low number. Yes, I get it. When you look at what Dawson Knox did last year, Dawson Knox had 517 yards in 15 games, right? He's a tight end. He's played pretty well. He's been a high-volume passing attack. He's had 500-plus yards in each of the last two seasons, but what did the Bills do in the draft? What did they show us with their actions? They went out and spent their highest draft capital on a rookie tight end, a receiving tight end out of Utah in Dalton Kincaid. I expect them to run a lot of two tight end sets this season, but all reports out of training camp are is that they're using Dalton Kincaid as a borderline slot receiver in this offense after they struggled to fill that position last year. Gabe Davis is healthier off his ankle injury, which severely limited him last season. Stephon Diggs is now over the rift he had with the play calling with Josh Allen in that offense. Dawson Knox, all reports as well are, is that he's going to be strictly almost a blocking tight end this year. So you add in a brand new tight end to the mix. Dawson Knox now becomes maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh option in the receiving game at best under Josh Allen. Because look, the new starting running back now is James Cook. And James Cook, he was in the doghouse for a lot of last year. He's a receiving running back by trade, too. So you have Diggs, you have Davis, you have Dalton Kincaid, you have James Cook, you have another talented receiver in Khalil Shakir and a few other guys in the mix there. I don't even think Dawson Knox should be on. If I was running a book and setting these lines, I wouldn't even list Dawson Knox as a prop. But the fact we can still bet him, given the current situation, that he could wind up being the sixth, seventh option in the passing game, I've got him projected for barely even 300 yards. And that's a massive difference when we're talking about a prop between 425 and a 300-yard projection by the end of the year.
Money plays, late hits with our man Chris Dell from bettingpredators.com and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. All he's doing is handing out winners and giving you opportunities to make money. Follow him on Twitter at Mad Journalist. Get his info at bettingpredators.com and, of course, at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. What's the website for the PPG?
Post-Gazette.com. You can catch all my weekly fantasy columns there. I'll be putting out a fantasy piece every single week during the regular season as well. And sneak preview for this weekend, I'll be putting out my first ever player props column on the Post-Gazette website as well. So make sure to check that out.
Chris Dell, bettingpredators.com, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Buddy, appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
One more week, Patrick. One more week till football. Let's go, baby.
Almost there. It's almost there. Chris Dell, Money Plays with us on Late Hits. Before we hit the break, you know what? You just got all that info on how to lay wagers. Well, now you get time to lay those wagers and make sure you're laying them with BetUS.com. Football's back. Chris just gave you a whole bunch of great player props. Well, BetUS.com, that's the place to do it. Celebrating their 30th year as a sports betting service and offering up to 30 risk-free bets. 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. Nobody does this. Plus, you're getting 125% sign-on bonus. It's the best in the industry. 125% sign-up bonus with BetUS.com. Sign up with crypto. You get a 200% crypto bonus at BetUS.com. So get Bet Protect and get your big bonus and get started today. BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS.com. BetUS Sportsbook and Casino. It's where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
One out and one on. Now DJ Stewart, who homered right behind Vogel back in the second to give the Mets the 2-0 lead. They were up 3-0 before the Rangers rallied. There's another one to right field, headed toward the stands. It's out of here! DJ Stewart ties the game with his second home run of the night. How hot is he? DJ Stewart just keeps on hitting the long balls. And it's 5-5 in the eighth inning.
Thanks to our friends at SNY. Yes, this was last night. The Arlington Junk Grabbers and the New York Mets. The Mets, who had surrendered a 3-0 lead in the eighth, and it turned into a 5-3 Junk Grabbers lead. And we all expected the Mets would do what the Mets always do, which is watch their bullpen implode and give away yet another game to the Junk Grabbers, just as they had done the previous two nights. But last night, the Mets fought back. The Mets tie it in the bottom of the eighth. Would they blow it in the ninth? No, they would not. But you know what would happen? DJ Stewart would come up again in the bottom of the 10th inning, and he would face Aroldis Chokman.
10th. Infield is in. The outfield is in. And Stewart is hit by the pitch, and the Mets win it! How about that? Fourth RBI of the night for Stewart as he gets plunked by Chapman to bring in McNeil with the winning run. An extraordinary victory for the Mets. DJ Stewart, the hero of heroes, but so much more to go around. Jeff Brigham with great work in the ninth and tenth. DJ Stewart, two home runs, four RBIs, a game-saving catch, and the Mets win it in 10 innings, 6-5. The first career walk-off RBI for DJ Stewart.
Aroldis Chokman! God dang. Yeah. We're all familiar with Aroldis Chokman. We're all familiar with that stupid grin on his face after he blows the game. Oh, yeah, we are. When he's not giving up game-winning bombs to Jose Altuve, he's plunking DJ Stewart and costing his team wins and putting them in not first, not second, but third place. Oh, yes, the junk grabbers. We will all sit around and mock. Mock, mock, mock. I am mocking you. Mock. Mock, mock, mock. Because your bullpen is trash. Your bullpen is trash. And the Arlington junk grabbers continue to fall like a lead balloon out of the sky, as they have now fallen to third place, a game behind the Seattle Coffee Sippers, and a game behind your reigning, defending, undisputed world champion, Houston Astros. That's right. They are looking up at our behinds, exactly where they belong. Now, as much as we enjoy making fun of the junk grabbers, and we should because they do deserve it, we can also maybe poke a little fun at Chris Ballard, the GM of the Indianapolis Colts, because, well, he thinks a big-time running game, not all that important for his young quarterback. I guess he figures Anthony Richardson can be the running back. But there was a rumor that Chris Ballard told the Miami Dolphins any trade for Jonathan Taylor would involve Jalen Waddle. Well, Chris Greer, the Dolphins general manager, had this to say regarding his young star receiver.
He said 95% of what's reported is inaccurate, so I got to ask you, did the words Jalen Waddle come out of Chris's mouth?
Again, I'm not going to go into discussions that were talked about with stuff, but God, man, you're a dog on this, huh? but yeah, Jalen Waddle would not be available to anybody. It wouldn't matter who they called about.
Credit to the Miami Dolphins for that audio. But Jalen Waddle, not available for sale, period. At least for this year. At least for this year. But, I mean, their team is built around Tua throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So, it kind of makes sense that while Jalen Waddle is on a rookie contract, they probably don't want to deal him yet because they don't have to pay him yet. And maybe they are hoping by the time Tyreek Hill's monster contract is up that Jalen Waddle could ascend being the number one, and then you can go draft another wide receiver, because here is something that you've probably figured out about the NFL in recent years. There's probably 10, 12 receivers that come out every year who are legit NFL ready. You can go get an NFL receiver in every draft. You don't need to constantly re-up guys, because as much as teams like to look at the running back position and say, well, all right, he's 27, let's pawn him off, they're kind of doing that with receivers at 30. Receiver gets to 30 and like, all right, yeah, we can let him go. We can pawn him off. How old is Tyreek Hill? He's not 30 yet. But at some point, you're probably going to say, well, you know what? He is 29. Another 2 years, and then it's time to move off of him and go draft his replacement, who will be cheap. That's kind of how it works. Now, we'll get to, there's one more that I really wanted to get to, but we have to get to it on the other side. So we'll squeeze that into a little WTF next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hear your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, before we get to the WTF, I wanted to hear this one in the last time we ran out of time. This is OBJ on how close he may have gotten to going back to New York, credit Rich Eisen show.
As a matter of fact, I think at the owner's meeting, before John Harbaugh sat down and met with the media, he hit send on a tweet about wanting to be traded. How was that playing out with you and your decision back then?
You know, listen, it's like you worked your entire life. You feel like you've done so much. I've personally been in the places where you feel like you've done so much for an organization. And this is a business, and we get all that. But I think, you know, not speaking for him, he feels like he's done so much for this place. And obviously, we're all playing to get paid and to be able to take care of your family forever. And I think he just felt like it was his time. And he also, not only was it just about getting paid, like, he's a guy, as I've been around him, like, he wants to win. And he wants to win a championship. That's all he talks about. You know, he wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, I feel like this is something that he dreamed of as a child. And I think that's probably where the frustration lies, you know, between your emotions of, as a human, how you feel when you do something where you feel like you do so much for someone and then it's not being paid back in return. It's not easy as humans to handle that in any setting. So I think that's probably all it was if I were to speak on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, he feels like he deserves X, Y, and Z, and, you know, he also wants to take care of his family. And on the other end, you know, they have to do their due diligence and hold up on their end, too. So I just think, you know, both sides coming together was obviously going to be the best for both sides. And I'm just happy that all that's out the way. And, like, we're, you know, a couple of days away from I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. I had to sit out last year, watch mm-hmm. everyone have fun, and which is great because I'm happy for those guys. But, like, I can't help but miss, you know, playing football. I've dedicated so much of my life to this game. So I'm just happy we're here now. And I'll tell you this. I've been around and seen what it takes. You know, obviously only won one championship, but been in that atmosphere to understand how a team most likely wins it. And I don't think that there's a piece missing here to where this team can't be competing for a championship.
OBJ reminds me so much of Terrell Owens in this regard. It's taken him to the very end of his career to figure out how not to be a jerk. Terrell Owens, one of the greatest receivers of all time. And if you said to me, who would you rather have, Terrell Owens or Randy Moss? I'd rather have Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens could run every route. Randy Moss ran one. Terrell Owens ran every route. Terrell Owens took shots and held on to the ball. Terrell Owens went over the middle. Randy Moss wasn't going over the middle, to be real. Randy Moss quit on four different teams. One thing you say about Terrell Owens, he wasn't quitting. Played the Super Bowl on a broken ankle and was the best player on the field.
I still don't think he gets enough credit for that.
While Donovan McNabb was puking his guts up. But Terrell Owens is a guy who didn't learn how to say hello until it was time to say goodbye. I think we're at that point with OBJ. He's the very end of his career. He's had so many injuries. We don't even know what OBJ is going to be this year. But he's finally learning to say hello. It's just taken a really long time. I hope Odell still has a few more years in him. And I hope he has success. Always liked him as a player. Wasn't a big fan of the dog urinating touchdown celebration. I was stupid. But he's always been a terrific player, a game-changing type player. I want him to be that guy again, at least for one season. Can he be that guy this year? Even if after this year he's like, okay, I'm done. Can you be that guy for this year? I want to see Lamar have a season where he has a real receiving core. And for that to happen, Odell has to be vintage OBJ. He can't be, you know, Andre Johnson with the Colts. He's got to be old school. Now, according to the New York Post, there is a plastic surgeon who's claiming President Biden spent over $100,000 on facelifts and things to, you know, fix up his facial appearance. There are allegations from a North Carolina rep who claimed that Joe Biden has, quote, had so much plastic surgery. But Dr. Motiki, I think that's how we're going to say it, a West Hollywood surgeon, said that now 82-year-old President Biden has had some plastic surgery. Now, I don't know whether he has or he hadn't, but the only transformation I want to see President Biden make is this one.
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living!
How awesome would it be to have President Mumra just out there beating the hell out of everyone, blasting people, obliterating them, incinerating them? That'd be awesome. Hey, you don't want Vladimir Putin in interfering in our elections? Bam! Kill him. Kim Jong-un, bam! Incinerated. Got an Ayatollah or somebody in the Middle East that needs to, bam! Disintegrated. Bringing down entire mountainous valleys. Wiping civilizations off the map. President Mumra. That would be pretty cool. Not going to lie. Long as he was our president, he's not obliterating us. Now, last one here. Apparently, Mark Cuban is not a fan of guys who smoke marijuana. And he said he's traded guys because they smoke some Mary Jane. Apparently, if you want to play for Mark Cuban, you need
weed. Stay off the weed.
The weed. Stay off the weed. If you play from Mark Cuban. Does it for us for tonight. Appreciate Chris Dell, Bat Predators, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jay Chev on the other side of the glass, our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. We are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It's a short show, so you better not miss it as we lead into the Astros and the Slumlords. We'll see you tomorrow night. It's town!
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
Red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
Excellent.